All right. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. I ask you to give us the Holy Spirit to conform us into the likeness of the perfect man, Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you've done with us and what you continue to do with us. Grateful that you who've begun a good work in us are faithful to complete it. And just thank you for 2024. Thank you for the charge. Thanks for answered prayer. As you complete this part tonight that you have for us, and that you would have a people zealous for your good works, a people for you, set apart, sanctified, and fit for the Master's use. And pray that the Holy Spirit would continue with us. And this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So this is the last Wednesday night of midweek study for the entire year, because next week is Christmas. And I don't know what you're going to be doing on Christmas, but I'm not going to be here. Right? And then on New Year's, we're also still on Christmas break. And so we'll pick up on the 8th with 1 Samuel chapter 1. Okay. All right. So January 2nd of this year, January 2nd, this is in my prayer closet between me and the Lord, let us go on to perfection. Took a look at the seven pillars that God had given us here, and that pillar of going on to perfection, to take it up as an instruction to hear what the Spirit would say to us, to be fruitful, faithful, to be complete, full, finished, to do the works and bring forth the fruit. And that was my prayer for the year. Turns out, as I just kind of go through a couple of these things for us, that in April, I tried to do tonight's teaching when I was up at the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, visiting up there. And that my entire plan was to do Ephesians 4:17-32. But when I got there, it ended up being give us springs of water from the book of Joshua, and that might not mean much to you, but this means a lot to me, and therefore I'm going to try to be able to share that and communicate that with you. And really the charge of going on to perfection, and as it has developed and come through the study in 1 Corinthians 14 on Sunday, and in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, I gave us an assignment to apply from Sunday's Bible study. And 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. It's a call to maturity, to go on to perfection, to grow up, and when we started the book of Judges, which was this year, which was, I don't remember the exact month. I know it was probably May, April, May, right after. And with this understanding of learning not to live like the world around us. So I arrived at this application for how be it in malice be ye children, or in malice be ye children. And the application is Ephesians 4:17-32. And I'm not sure if any of you are going to do it. You can decide about that. But I decided that I'm going to do it. I can do something about that. And then I can also do something like this tonight. I can go through it. And when I give an assignment, I have no idea if anybody's going to do it. And I'm not even sure what they'll do after we go through it tonight. But whatever you do with this information is solely, wholly, totally dependent upon you. And I'll give you every shot to be able to apply this, that you can know that you came through 2024 less like a child and more like, if you will, a man, or more mature, or going on to perfection in regards to your relationship with the Lord. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And I'm not sure how much all of you are aware of just how important 1 Corinthians has been for us as a church in putting off, and then the charge has come to us in this going on to perfection. And there was much to be said this year and brought forth in regards to the wisdom that really is from below and is of this world, the philosophies, the warnings that Paul gives concerning, the wisdom of this world, which is foolishness with God, and to call us to walk in the wisdom. Now, all this is formed together, of which I believe the best thing to do is just to get into the study tonight. But the introduction is to hand it off to you in the context of growing up, right? The context of, again, just like your lives, and I think I just look around the room, and you come on the midweek study, and no newbies here. You hearing that phrase? And so, in that prayer of let us go on to perfection was John 15 for me, which was abide in the vine, be fruitful. You know, abide in his love, abide in his commandments. And my charge really to all of you, again, I'm charging you, is to be fruitful, have fruitful lives, grow up and have fruitful lives. And because if you think about it, mature plants produce fruit, if you use that analogy. And I just, again, if I would sit down and talk with you individually, like I have with many of you, is that at this point in your relationship with God, you should be bearing fruit. If there's no fruit in your life, that's what this year is about. What are the things that need to go away that have kept you from bearing fruit? And then what are the things that you need to be putting into your life that you might bear fruit unto God? So Ephesians 4:17 says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now the context is to no more be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, but speaking the truth in love, 4:15. And I've been using this a lot with us, and I would encourage you, this is part of your growing up. Not just sitting there when another would speak the truth to you in love, but you yourself then speaking to one another, speaking the truth in love. I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. That's what John writes. Some of the last things he wrote when he wrote to the church, and he would say, my little children love one another. It's reported that was his sermon when he was too feeble to do anything else. And that's what he could muster with his words at the end of his life. And what I would want us to have is speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into him in all things. And that's my desire for each and every one of you. And in that part of going on to perfection, growing up into him in all things, and answering the call, serving the Lord, those areas of your life that are, say, undisciplined between you and the Lord, that it might be that straightforward to realize terms like obedience, submission, terms like faithfulness, stewardship. I'd even add this one, serving, right? Not a volunteer, but a servant. All these things of following after the Lord. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And the work of the body to edify itself in love as each member does their part. And we've been concentrating on this. So when we get to 17, 18, and 19, I've used this when we use the book of Judges, and I use this in that warning not to live like the world. And it's 4:17. And as we apply this Bible study tonight in the application of 1 Corinthians 14:20, to grow up in understanding. And I mean this with all sincerity. And again, so this is my strong exhortation, and I'm gonna give it to whoever will be watching from here online, because you are all here. But for those of you who this is your church, why aren't you at the midweek Bible study? Okay, and then to establish that habit to not be at that place in the midweek study where you are in the Word of God. So I'm talking to the camera, right? Now, not upset at anybody, okay? So don't ever take that context of, oh, we're just saying that because it's upset. No, speaking the truth in love one to another, that this is where we're at. To not live like the unbelievers live. And this warning, not to live like the people around you. Don't follow their ways. Follow the Lord and do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Never before in history has the world been more accessible to every single person on this earth. Never before has the deceitful lusts of sinful pleasures been more transferable. Again, think of the number of people in the world holding a handheld computer and the ways that people can interconnect with each other like never before. Whatever sin you want to do, you can find it. And in this phrase in 4:17 through 19, I'm just going to start out with it. Babies need to learn to walk. Babies need to learn to walk. Now, if you, after 10 years, are still living like a baby Christian and need to learn to walk, that's what 2024 has been about, solving that, learning how to walk. Now, why I say it in this context is because of this warning, which I find in verse 17, is that believers are not to live like unbelievers live. The other Gentiles, again, it's the reference to those who did not know God. And as he emphasizes that, those who are not born of him, they don't have understanding. In fact, their understanding is darkened, even though the light has entered into the world and the light has shined and the gospel of Christ has come into the world, and yet there are those darkened. And we have this reality yet today. Imagine it. After 2,000 years of the light that knowingly being turned on when Christ entered the world, and yet there are many who live today as if that never happened. Understanding darkened. And so this word henceforth is no more. And just start here. No more. Between you and the Lord, no more am I going to live like an unbeliever. No more. And if you know how unbelievers live, and again, or maybe it's enough, sufficient, I lived as an unbeliever, I'm going to live that way no more. Now, what do unbelievers do? Okay, and that's... what do the rest of the Gentiles do? Well, it's described here, the vanity of their mind. Lies, emptiness, foolishness, deceit, hardness, darkness, ignorance, blindness. Blindness of heart is the hardness. Again, the reference of the light has shined, and yet if there's a blindness, then it's not because the light's not shining bright, it's because of the heart. And this is my exhortation to us, is that we need to learn to walk. Now, when you're born, naturally, babies don't walk. You think about some of those kinds of animals that God did make. They're walking within that first couple hours because they're on the go. And yet, you think of like a newborn baby does not walk for, on average, at least a year. Now think about this in this context of the spiritual life. Yeah, you could say, and again, so this is 1 Peter. Desire the pure milk of the word. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Is that 1 Peter 2:1? If I have the right reference. Anybody have that one memorized? Nobody's got that one? You have it memorized, just don't know where it is? 1 Peter 2:2? That's much more catchy. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, those are the things that'll keep you from walking. Right? As a newborn babe, desire the sincere word, sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And so here's my instruction to you tonight. As you apply Ephesians 4, 17 through 32 in the context of your walk, okay, should no longer be walking as babies walk. How do babies walk? They have a hard time getting up, and they fall down a lot. Okay, their balance is off. But when you grow up, and by reason of use, having your senses exercised, and you're, you know, and I'll say that as at this point, some of you should be teachers. Right? That's the reference from Hebrews 6. I mean, again, we had this this understanding that part of your walk is you should be discipling another. You should be teaching. You should be taking this word and part of your walk. And this vanity of their minds. And here's where we need to go. And this is why I have brought forth, we had people leave this year over my warning of psychologizing of the faith. Okay? And you need to understand that that was good. All right? Because in this vanity of their minds, if you have not seen this or have this figured out, the rest of the Gentiles are consumed with vanity. Okay? Now, if you are aware or not aware, mental health, right, is the tagline of how that is, that's what the world right now is chasing down. Now, there's other things, but in this area of the walk, like that's the component. And many Christians, right, many are tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. So my instruction to you here, this is about, don't think I don't care or have compassion. Quite the opposite. It's not about mental health. It's about your life in Christ. It's a spiritual issue. As if the Bible didn't know about the 20th century. Actually began, and it's been going for about these ideas, and it's nothing but philosophy, and it's plundering the people of God. Now, why I say it for us this way is because this is the battleground. It's in the mind. Okay? And my heart's desire for all of you is that you would see what this really is. If you want to follow that, then you're following those who have their understanding darkened. Right? They're alienated from the life of God that is in them, studied out. Those who came up with these theories and philosophies were unbelievers. And they're alienated from the life of God. They don't have the Spirit of God. So at best, it's man's wisdom. Worst case, it's satanic in origin. And describing these, well, again, I'm not going to develop the ideas, but I'm going to bring us to this, that because they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Romans 1, 24, 25, and 26. Okay? You should not be surprised to find in this world that there is a rise in this godlessness, that there is a rise of homosexuality. Okay? That's what Romans declares. Because of the blindness of their heart. 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. This, I'll read it to you out of the Amplified. So that last phrase in the King James, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Here's the Amplified. And they, the ungodly in their spiritual apathy, have become callous and unfeeling and have given themselves over as prey to unbridled sensuality, eagerly craving the practice of every kind of impurity that their desires may demand. But ye have not so learned Christ. I'm not going to emphasize what we all know to be true. I guess the past feeling is worthy to kind of understand it. They don't feel the, again, literally it's don't feel pain, but they feel nothing in regards to the lust that has overtaken their lives. They feel nothing. They've given themselves over to it, and Romans 1 says God gave them over to that debased mind. And so my instruction is you cannot live like the world. You cannot live like unbelievers. This instruction now more than ever becomes important, that I would simply now bring us to verse 20. You have not so learned Christ. The description in 17, 18, and 19, that's nothing of Christ Jesus. That's everything of the world. And so 1 John 2:15, all that, the love of the Father versus the love of the world, all that's in the world. And you may be surprised to find out, without checking on it, you might have desires contrary to Christ because you live in this world. And so the instruction here of babies need to learn to walk, the first thing that I would say to one who's born again, you have to learn not to walk the way you used to, nor walk just like everybody else might be walking. And then you have not so learned Christ, which means that Paul then taught them Christ. And this is the church of Ephesus, and he was there, and he taught them from house to house. And again, great work happened in Ephesus, and then the word of God went forth from them. And you have a decision to make, right? Have you learned Christ? And to state for yourself, I have learned Christ. I'm his follower. Learn is the root word where we get disciple, pupil, learner, follower. But how do you describe this? I learned to walk. So in this no longer walking as the Gentiles, when you have a brand new baby, they don't have to learn to unlearn walking in the physical realm. They just need to learn to walk in the natural realm. But spiritual, when you're born again, you actually have to learn how not to walk like you used to walk. So you have to unlearn, and then you have to learn Christ and then how to walk, and keep it in this context. You have not so learned Christ that I can't walk like unbelievers walk. How do unbelievers walk? Well, they're all around you. It's all the entertainment. And that's what the unbelievers want to do. And so to learn Christ means very much for me to learn to walk in his teachings, his commands, his spirit, his word, his ways. And I would bring that all the way through his cross. To be crucified to this world and this world to me, right? The instruction of learning to walk like the Lord. If so be that you have heard him. And this is now where I ask you to decide for yourself, have you heard him? What has he said to you? When you read your Bible, what have you seen in him? What have you heard in him? What has he taught you? If you look at this, you have heard him and have been taught by him. This is not, right? And this again, this is why I instruct and encourage on this midweek study as we go through this, because that's the great opportunity to, which one of us would concentrate on a section of scripture if it wasn't for our regular attendance of we're going to do a Bible study? Not many of us would be disciplined to just study on our own. Very straightforward. And so if you give yourself to learn Jesus, and then this is part of your walk, that I have heard him, and I have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, for me, something my pastor has said, and how do I know I've learned something? Because my behavior's changed. That's how I know when I've learned something. I've learned it because now I do it this way. And how have you learned Christ? You know, for me, heard him, right? Hear and obey go together. How can you honestly say you've heard the Lord if you won't obey his commands? Abide in my love, abide in my commands. How can you say you've heard him? Yeah, I've heard that before. Oh, I've heard that before. That doesn't really do it until you decide for yourself, I have heard him, and this is why I now do this. And your relationship to the truth to sanctify your lives by the truth that is in Jesus. Verse 22. Now we get on to some practical outworking of this truth. And it is about growing up as newborn babes, desiring the pure milk of the word that may grow thereby as you receive the word into your heart. And then you're learning how not to walk and then how to walk. So you have to unlearn and put off concerning the former conversation, as Paul describes here, the old man, the old nature, the nature that you followed before you were saved, before you were born of him, the old man, the nature that was controlled by your inherited sinful carnal nature. Adam and Eve sinned. Everyone born of Adam and Eve after that is not born spiritually alive, born spiritually dead. Lives controlled by their fleshly appetites. And then when one is born again, so you have to put off concerning the former conversation, conduct, the old man, so which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we study this, and then we're going to watch the Holy Spirit teach us into specific areas. Putting on the new man, right, that you first put off the old. So, to die daily to the old nature. Remember when you were a slave to sin? Do you remember when you partook of the sinful pleasures in this world and you were a slave to them? Okay, I remember that. Okay, I also know what it is to be free from sin, and many of those sins were not easy to get free from, Romans 6:16. Okay, many of those sins were not easy to get free from. Why? Because I gave myself to them, and then I became a slave to sin. And sin deceiving me would have killed me and was killing me and needed to be saved. So that slave to sin, so I have to put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. So as you walk in this world and as you can no longer walk like the rest of the Gentiles walk, that means to put off the old man. So the, are you still now, as a Christian, partaking in the sinful desires that you used to have before you were saved? Now, baby Christians do, right? Many times, and I say I was a slow starter, my first 2-3 years of following Christ was marked by continuing to go back to the activities and sins that were according to my old nature. And so part of this growing up and going on to perfection and applying this in children be malice, I was very good at sin. And it grew up and became mature in my life, and I could plan for it and organize it and get others to sin with me. And I wasn't a child concerning malice. I was grown up in that. So part of this putting off the old man according to the former conversation is corrupt, is to decide it's corrupt. It's killing me. It's rotting my life. I can't partake of that anymore. And many Christians backslide for this very reason, to go back to their sins of their old nature. And they don't. And again, so this part for us here, I understand that if you, again, just starting to walk with the Lord, but what I've been saying to us this year to go on to perfection is what? It's time to grow up. So if I, as a grown man, still manifest childish behaviors that's wrecking my marriage or it's wrecking my job, I can't get out of bed, I can't get to work, or I spent all my money on myself, I'm not doing any giving, I look at this, and I don't talk about it often, but part of the mark of perfection is that you've come to this place in your stewardship between you and the Lord. And, you know, I don't teach on tithing very often, but for me, that's been something of my maturity in the Lord, that I no longer live for myself. I'm living to meet others' needs. Now, in this dying daily to the old nature, to no longer be a slave to sin, and to give your mind to the new nature, the word there, renewed in the mind, literally is to state to yourself again as you pray, what are you doing in your prayer closet? Well, here's what you can do in your prayer closet. Put off the old nature. Whenever you're led about and sinning after the old nature, you confess your sins to the Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you, and then give yourself to be renewed. The word there for renewed is to, like if you think about it, is to be made new again, or to have the mind of what God has given you new. I have a new mind. I have the mind of Christ. I have a spiritual mind. I have a mind that's not after this world, but a mind that's after God, and that's been given to me. And so I need to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. And then I need to put on the new man. So in that renewing, that new nature, Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is the call. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And this is the instruction to put on the new man. Think of like you would with clothing. You have dirty clothes. You take off the dirty clothes so they can be washed, and you put on clean or new clothes. You put off the old nature and put it away. So you do realize what happens when you tell your children no. Right? When you first teach them, no, you can't continue to do that, what do? Yes, I can. That's a mark of a spiritual baby. Adult fits. Now, that might happen, again, as you just begin to walk with the Lord. But if that's persisting, and you find yourself still throwing fits after 10 years, okay? Now there's this, I need to renew my mind. What, after 10 years and I'm still throwing a fit to God? It's maybe cute for a little while with a newborn child who plays around and doesn't want to do what they're told, but for me, that's not very cute for very long at all. Likewise, again, as you receive these instructions, put off the old man. And if you're still being led about by the old nature, again, even as we practice, there is a Holy Spirit. I mean, I think that's the part to the new life. There is a Spirit who's indwelling. Paul will get onto this. And really, all I'm going to do is I'm going to force you to go through 4, 17 through 32. Because I'm going through it. So I'm forcing you to. But I know that you can be in a chair and still be a million miles away. Right? To become a slave of righteousness. So this idea of new man, holiness and righteousness. That's the end of that phrase. That's the mark. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's that new nature. So just ask yourself two questions. Is it righteous? Is what I'm doing, is it righteousness? And then the second one is holiness. Now, we as believers really have no business forming and our walks after the way the world does things. Okay, and so that's kind of the idea of holiness to be set apart. And now this off with the old, on with the new is going to come out in each verse. Put off the old man, put on the new. Examples, tangible examples. Wherefore, putting away lying, verse 25. Now, just take that. And again, here's my challenge. Don't lie to anybody tomorrow. Tell no lies tomorrow. Put off lying. Get up in the morning, put off lying, and just between you and the Lord, that's part of the old nature, lying, put off lying, but then I have something else to put on. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Okay? So you're putting off lying, but it's not like you don't do anything. I didn't lie to anybody because I didn't talk to anybody today. Which probably still wouldn't be true. So putting off lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. So 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Okay? And this is my charge. Let's stop lying to one another. Because we're members of one another. Right? So lying is the work of the devil, the father of lies, John 8, right? You shall know the truth, my disciples. Indeed, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. If you what? If you obey his commands. Okay? If you have that relationship with the truth. So ask this lying, is this the straight question? Is it true? Is it true? So put off lying, put on the truth, right? Putting away lying. Lying is what we speak to deceive. Okay? Truth is what we speak to make sure it's not deceptive. 26. So 26, 27, and 28 really go together. But 26 and 27 I put together here. Be ye angry. Or literally, when you get angry, don't sin. So it's written in a passive context. So the verb is passive on you, be ye angry. So it's not like, I need to be angry. It's a command that when you get angry, okay, don't sin. So be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So that's a mark of the old nature. If you're still getting angry, okay? Again, and when I say let us go unto perfection, we need to grow up. If you're still getting angry, then this is your verse. So that's, I'm still, after all these years, I'm still walking like a baby Christian. And it's challenging, okay? It's challenging. But if you think that it will just go away, then you might as well just keep lying to yourself. Okay, just like your children will not grow out of disobedience, they'll just get more clever at hiding it. And you'll get so used to it that their rebellion ends up casting a spell upon you like witchcraft, if you believe the scriptures. Likewise, as a Christian, you can, if you let anger stick around, it's really where the devil gets a foothold. If you can remove anger out of your relationships, you have a pretty good job of getting Satan out of there. Because usually in the sin of anger is where we do the worst things to one another. Okay? Be ye angry and sin not. So it's not a command to get angry. Okay? But there are things that are going to get you. Don't deny that. In fact, something should get to you when you find out what's going on. Right? But don't sin in it. Right? Neither give place to the devil. Some versions say don't give him a foothold. Sin of anger, James chapter 1. If that's you and you need to work on that, you know, be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to get angry or slow to wrath. We're going to talk here about the devil a little bit. Not giving him a foothold. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You don't send a child off to fight, do you? I don't know of anybody who would defend, right, with a child army. Okay? So likewise, now it's a charge for all of you dads, and then likewise the moms together with the dads, and even in growing up, because we must, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, his schemes, his tactics. Now, that little booklet that Warren Wiersbe wrote, The Strategies of Satan, How to Detect and to Defeat Him. Okay? So, maybe worth an annual read, again, or a daily putting on the armor. So you catch the context here. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. At some point, you're going to have to walk in faith and hold up the shield. Okay. Second Corinthians 2. The warning about the sin of unforgiveness. 2 Corinthians 2:10, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Do you know that unforgiveness gives Satan a foothold? It's childish to not forgive, right? Hold a grudge. Not talk to you. Put your fingers in your ear. I'm not listening to you. Throw a fit. Okay? That's mark of the childish nature. We're not ignorant of his devices. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. So you don't have to, like, oh no, the devil's near. Don't worry about that. Submit to God, resist the devil. If you detect his lies, don't follow him. If he's trying to plant lies in your mind, answer with the truth. How do you envision Jesus being tempted in the wilderness? Do you think Satan came to him in a red suit with a sharp pointy arrow tail and a fork? He came to him deceptively invisible and sowed thoughts in his mind. And he answered with the word of God. You do realize it's entirely possible, as we understand 4:27, that the devil might have a foothold inside of you to lead you to sin, and you don't detect the temptation, and you think you're fine. However, if those that love you are warning you about your decisions and your walk, listen. If they're, you know, again, if they're mature and they're saying, "Hey, this what you're following is not right." Okay. Neither give place to the devil. James, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil prowls about, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Because once the lion gets you, it's too late. You understand that? Or is that true? David rescued a lamb out of the mouth of a lion. Okay, so what's this instruction? Together on this one, watch out for each other, sober, vigilant. 28. So if you look at 26, 27, and 28, so be angry and sin not. So anger is one of the footholds that Satan gets on, and then into 28, excuse me, where was I? Oh, 25. 25, 26, 27. Lying gives the enemy a foothold, and anger and unforgiveness give the enemy a foothold. So if you just concentrate on those three, lying, anger, unforgiveness. Okay? So if you're not telling your parents the truth when you're, right, when you're their child, when you're not telling your pastor the truth, when he's teaching you and training you to walk in the light, when you're not telling your spouse the truth, when you're not telling your master, right, your boss, the truth, okay? So these are the things. Okay, now on to 28. Off with the old, on with the new, right? Put away the old, which is let him steal no more. Again, so just like not lying, but speaking the truth, no longer stealing, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. So it is good for you to have work to do, right? The instruction is don't steal anymore, but now work, labor, working with your hands that thing which is good. And look at the phrase, that he may have to give. to meet the needs of others. Very important. Okay, so that it's not, well, I'm not, you know, I don't need any money. No, it's not about needing money. It's about working so that you can no longer steal but give. 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. I've been talking about this one a lot in 1 Corinthians study. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So as we've studied this, the gift of prophecy to speak those words to edify, exhort, and comfort as the body edifies itself in love. And now the instruction, which I introduced on Sunday, which now is where I really come to this application. Are your words corrupting? Corrupt words come from, again, sinful, causing decay. Words that tear down instead of build up. Words that cut rather than heal. So corrupt words come from a corrupt heart. Matthew 7, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Matthew 7, 17. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And this is the challenge, corrupt words. Again, James talks about the tongue, fresh water and salt water, not out of the same opening. Now, if you want to try to walk in the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God, it's not going to work. Okay? The good words of edifying by the Holy Spirit and the gifts of prophecy, Ephesians 4, 15. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So 29, 30, and 31 are all together, kind of talking about them separately, but I believe that the way Paul wrote this, corrupt communication out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, because the Holy Spirit wants to edify, exhort, and comfort. The Holy Spirit wants to do this work in our lives. And it's childish to use your words to tear down. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So in this, grieving the Holy Spirit of God who's in you, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption, speaks of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit always with you. The corrupt communication rather than edifying, I believe the context here is that when you're using your corrupt communication, that's grieving God's Holy Spirit. Okay. So my instruction here in growing up is to grow in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Person and Work of the Holy Spirit, that book by R.A. Torrey. I have two more. If you have not received that from me, I don't know if everybody in the room already has one. You don't have one yet, do you? Okay, I have one. I'll give you one after service. To grow in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Works like this. After you've said your words, why don't you ask God, did you like that? If you're brave, ask the Holy Spirit, did you like what I just said? Okay? So, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Sealed under the day of redemption. And then 31. So, I think 30, here's how it goes. 30, 31, and 32, because it goes right from grieving not the Holy Spirit with now the instruction. And here's the list. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And this is the verse that I'm thinking of when we're to be concerning malice, we're to, part of our unlearning of the way we spoke evil, did evil, and how we hold bitterness, anger, wrath, and again, the clamor is just the noisy, corrupt life, if you will, and then evil speaking, always able to, with malice, is the desire to harm another. The speaking evil is blaspheming, you know, speaking against, reminding you corrupt words come from a corrupt heart. 31 is a corrupt heart. It's not about changing the words. You must have a new heart. And so then you have the references of Ezekiel, replace that heart of stone with a heart of flesh. Ezekiel was, I think it's around 36. Yeah, 36. There's a wonderful prayer in there where Ezekiel is crying out, and God's saying he's going to give Israel a new heart. Let all bitterness, again, James, is it James? Paul writing this at the Hebrews. Hebrews was at chapter 12, warns of the root of bitterness, if I have the right chapter. Let it be put away from you with all malice, no desire to harm another. So that's part of putting off the old and then putting on the new. I believe bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking and malice grieve the Holy Spirit. When that is found in a believer's life, okay, I believe that grieves God's Holy Spirit. And be ye kind to one another. So corrupt words from a corrupt heart, good words from a good heart. Bitterness will affect the way you think about everybody. You'll think the way they look at you, you'll think they're talking about you, you think that they're directing their words at you. All because of a bitterness in the heart. So, the looking carefully lest there be a root of bitterness which defiles many. Again, be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, in malice be ye babes, right? But in understanding be ye men. So we should be understanding of kindness, forgiveness. Okay. Now let's do one thing. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians 14. And let's seal this. So the template that I used to put my study together, I took my last one that I had done in this format that I revived for tonight. And it was entitled The Measure of Maturity, from this last study in 2 Timothy 4. And I know that tonight's not the measure of maturity, okay? But tonight is it's time to be mature in your understanding, okay? You should spiritually understand the effect of what you're doing and how you're walking in your Christian life. Okay? If you're doing these things of sin, you should understand the course and path and the effect of what that sin will do unto you. It should be that straightforward. You should be understanding, again, 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, be not children in understanding. And this is my instruction, then no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Okay. Now there's an arrogance and an ignorance of childish Christians at any age. Okay. But one who is mature is meek, humble, lowly, correctable. Wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. can easily submit unto the truth. But if you find that you cannot submit unto the truth, again, then that's that part where you're actually more mature in malice than you are in doing good. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be ye men. So at the beginning of this year, the call was to go on to perfection. And are you happy with how it's turned out for you? Or has this year been a mark of more childish behavior spiritually? I'm not going to look at anybody and, you know, stare anybody down. But at some point, this is what this Bible study in application has been handed off to us from Sunday's 1 Corinthians 14 study. Now, we're going to come back next Sunday after we do the Christmas invite, and it's the last Sunday of the year, and we're going to wrap up chapter 14, and we're going to talk about the afterglow and the effectual working of this baptism with the Holy Spirit. Because let's be honest, the operation of the gifts, the whole thing with the Corinthians is they were childish. They weren't operating in the gifts with maturity, and so hence the instruction of understanding your spiritual gifts, how to use them, and to give yourself to listen and follow and have those gifts of the Holy Spirit. And what's your aim? My aim for the church is to be well-pleasing to God. That's my, if you will, when I think of us and this whole thing of growing up and being mature, and even when we talk about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fullness of God, the things that He has for us to be doing, my target is pleasing God, and I know who is accepted of Him. And so, for this cause, I will continue to convince, exhort, rebuke with all longsuffering and teaching, that I might present every man, every woman perfect in Christ, that we may grow up into Him who is our head, under the fullness of Him who fills all things in Him, to the fullness of God. So, may not be the most glamorous Bible study tonight, but we've studied His Word. And if you need glamour, then you still won't grow up. But if you will take to heart how He wants you to walk and please God. So, Father in heaven, thank You for the working of Your Holy Spirit upon our lives. Thank You for the leading and guiding for us to learn how to walk like Jesus Christ. And thank You for this year that You've called us to go on to maturity. And I've seen the growth, and we've seen growth in our own lives. And so, Lord, we ask You tonight that we would grow up in our understanding. Lord, I pray that You would open up our eyes to see and understand Your Holy Spirit as You teach, as You give these gifts, as You call us into ministry, as You separate our lives to serve You. Lord, that we would no longer be children. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.